For centuries, the Songbook of the Psalms has been cherished by God's people. From anthems of deep joy and ecstatic worship to heart cries of fear, sorrow, pain, and despair, the Book of Psalms contains a song for every season of the soul. Presented by various preachers from Hill City Church and beyond, God's Jukebox is a teaching series that seeks to explore each and every salvation song in this timeless book. We pray that as you tune in, you'll be blessed, refreshed, and inspired to sing a new song of praise to God.
I often just feel the weight for the children in a week like this, like what's happened in Trevethin. You know, I mean, as much as us adults, it shocks us because we actually understand, I think, you know, what's happened. I think for most of us who are adults and are old enough, we do just feel for the children. You know, we just feel, Lord, just protect these kids. And, you know, I just want to pray for our kids then, because they are a blessing. Every one of them is a blessing. The ones who are little angels on the surface, we all know they're not underneath. And the ones who are just, you know, mental, we love them all. We thank God for them all. Just to explain what's happening this morning, guys. Frank, excuse the PowerPoint, please, mate. Is that all right? Cheers, brother. I will try the clicker, but I need some practice first, I think. So, this morning, I was due to be speaking the fourth of our five AAA series questions. The question which I'd had was something along the lines of, should women preach the Bible? I do have an opinion on that. The church has a position on that. And I was all set to preach that until I saw the news a few days ago and saw what had happened in this estate. And I just felt that if I preached on that subject on a week like this, what that says about me as a person and as a pastor, it just kind of says that I'm more into theological nitpicking than I am into caring about communities and people. And I don't want to preach that. I will preach that. We're preaching on the book of Ephesians starting in September. And that kind of stuff comes up later on in about November, I think it is. So if you're the person that asked that question, you want to know where I stand before November, you can't wait that long, please see me before November. Preferably not this morning, because I don't want to be focusing on that this morning. I literally want to be focusing on you guys and on this community and what's happened. But we do have a very considered position on it, and I'll happily share that with you. Otherwise, you have to wait till November, and you'll find out then. So I said, Lord, literally, what is it that you want me to speak on? Because it's just difficult to put into words what goes on in your heart and your mind when you realize that just a few hundred yards from where you live and where your children are living, something like what happened down on the beaches this week can take place. And I believe the Bible says things so much more profoundly, so much more like just incredibly deep and incredibly just helpful. I believe the Bible will always bring you back to a place of hope if you come with repentance and faith. And so I thought, well, what should I be speaking on? And I remembered that when Keith went to hospital several months ago now. Do you remember that, Keith? That very bad day at the office when Keith had a heart attack. And I got my first pastoral call to go and visit the hospital as a pastor. I usually get a hospital visit to say, Di, we need to see you again because something else has gone wrong in your body. But this time it wasn't for me, it was for Keith. And Keith had to tip off the nurses in the ward, look, this bloke's coming in, he doesn't look like it, but he is actually my pastor, so please let him pass the reception desk. So I turned up in my sort of like, you know, as respectably dressed as I could, and they obviously thought it was a practical joke, but it wasn't, it's just me. But like I went in and Keith was there in bed, and I thought, what can I speak to Keith to encourage him in light of what's just happened? There he is in his hospital bed, you know, he's just had a heart attack. And I thought, you know what? Psalm 23. If boys, you can either stay or you can and come in and sit down and be quiet, or you can wait outside and have a drink with us afterwards. But this is quite an important message this morning. I'm talking about, like, you know, so you're welcome to come in, boys. But please don't hang through the door like you're at a bar, because that's just not appropriate. So you can come in. Thanks very much. So bless those kids. They're great, aren't they? You've got to love those kids. You've also got to be firm with them. So there I was, and I thought, Psalm 23. Because if John 3:16 is the most well-known verse in the Bible, this is probably the most well-known chapter, I believe, in the Bible. Psalm 23, you all know, if I said the Lord is my, you all know what the next word is. You all do. The Lord is my shepherd, because the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, has been such a source of hope in dark and difficult times for so many. This was written 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. This has been good news to people in dark places for 3,000 years. So I'm just gonna preach from my heart this morning, guys. I know I seem to be doing that a lot recently, but like in times like this, I don't want to lecture you. I don't want to be one of those lecturers. I want to preach my heart to you. So this is Psalm 23. It's such a short psalm, and I believe we can just draw a lot from it. So here we go. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are rod and you are staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just go back to the beginning for me, Ben. I'm going to say a quick prayer before I start. Lord, I just don't want to be giving token words this morning. I don't just want to get through a Sunday service and get to the end of it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak to our hearts this morning. I believe that you speak today. I believe that you challenge and change us today. I want you to do that, Lord. You wrote this. These beautiful words, these powerful words, would you come and take hold of them and apply it to our lives and glorify yourself in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. And the reason I find this psalm so challenging is that there's so few people can say those first 5 words. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to ask you right at the outset this morning, can you say that the Lord, God, Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, can you say he's your shepherd? See, if you remember recently, I did a crazy little trilogy because I just felt like it, and I enjoy preaching, called the Sheep Trilogy, and we looked at Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and it's good to know that Jesus is the Shepherd, but is he your Shepherd? Is he your Shepherd? I found it really quite challenging thinking about this estate, and thinking about this nation, and thinking about the words of Jesus Christ. When he entered Jerusalem shortly before walking to the hill of Calvary to carry the cross, he saw a nation that was falling apart. He saw a nation full of just religious hypocrites, full of pain, full of just violence, full of so little traces of God's grace, just so full of just not what God is about, not what God's kingdom is about. When Jesus looked at Jerusalem, he saw a city that had blood on its hands, because it was the city that had stoned the prophets before Jesus had come. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem and say, look at the state of you. Look at the world I made. I gave you everything and you threw it back in my face. Jesus didn't come and say, I hate this place. I want nothing to do with this place. He didn't look at the place and stigmatize it and say, who in their right mind would go to a city like Jerusalem? And I believe that, once again, Trevethan being in the press for the wrong reasons this week and for heartbreaking and tragic reasons, I don't believe that Jesus Christ looks at this estate and writes it off. I don't believe Jesus Christ looks at the headlines in the news this week and says, yep, that about sums up Trevethan. Jesus looked out over the broken city of Jerusalem, and it says this. It says he wept because he saw that those people in that precious city, precious to him, were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I want to say to you guys that what Trevethan needs, more than more police, more than more social services, more than more people sort of like, coming off drink and drugs, more than all the different things that we try and put in our lives to fix ourselves, what this estate needs is a shepherd. And what the people of this estate need is to know that the Lord God Almighty is their shepherd. Because when you don't have a shepherd, very quickly you end up in trouble. And this estate is a classic just case of what the rest of this nation looks like. People who have rejected the Lord as their shepherd and have turned to other shepherds. This is Psalm 23. Can I read to you Jeremiah 23? This is what God would say to this estate. Listen to this. This is Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. I might get a little bit emotional this morning, guys, because I do get emotional. But there are shepherds who are not the good shepherd out on these streets right now. And they are not there to protect and to cherish and to love and to nurture. The shepherds who are out on this street right now are shepherds who are out there to destroy. Some of them are blatant and obvious. Some of them it's clear. And others, it's just not clear and it's not blatant and it's not obvious. But they are not good shepherds. Let me tell you some of the evil shepherds out there right now. Evil shepherds are people who will draw alongside someone in pain and tell them that drugs is what they need to just get some peace and get some space. And they say, just take some of this, do this, become like us, I'll sort you out. And you'll get the space and the peace and the life that you crave. Evil shepherds are those who will go and draw alongside the vulnerable and the weak, and they'll pretend to be a friend, and they'll pretend to care, and then they'll shatter their hopes and their dreams on the rocks when they fail to deliver what they truly need. Evil shepherds are people who traffic children from other countries into prostitution and slavery. Evil shepherds are people who knock your door and say, are you in debt? I can help. I had one of them in Cardiff Queen Street on Tuesday. He said, excuse me, mate, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I said, that's a good job. And he said, no, I'm not selling anything. He said, I work for a company called WeCanSortOutYourDebtsForever.com or whatever it was. And I said, let me stop you here. I'm not in debt. I'm not interested. We had people coming in St. Mellon so often. At one point, I said to this guy, he worked for a company that was trying to sell televisions to people, and they paid like £1 million per 5 minutes to pay for their telly. And I said, look, I'm not interested, and I've got to tell you to your face, frankly, I find what people like you do disgusting. I just don't like what you're doing because you're manipulating the poor and the marginalised, and I'm not having it. So I don't want your telly. I'm quite happy with my 15-inch rubbish one, which is a slant. That's fine with me. I don't care. But guys, people come and knock our doors and try and come into our lives, and they try and say, you know, like, I'll help you, I'll sort you. What I can offer you is what you need, and it is not what we need. There are evil shepherds out there who want to corrupt our children and damage our lives. There are evil shepherds out there. There are paedophiles out there who want to seduce children and just do disgusting things. And they are not the shepherds that the Lord wants for his people. And the God himself says, woe to those people. Those people will answer to God himself for the lives they destroy. That day hasn't come yet. We still need to be careful about those shepherds, but they are out there. I want to warn you guys, not everybody that says they're a shepherd to you is a shepherd. And there are good evil shepherds out there too. Because a shepherd is someone that you can trust, apparently. Something that you can follow. And if we make anybody our shepherd other than the Lord, if I make Michelle my shepherd, she will disappoint me. Not half as much as I will disappoint her. Like, if I make my children, or if my children make me their shepherd, I will disappoint them. Because my children don't need me. Like, they need me to be an example of what the good shepherd is all about. But I'm not the Lord. If we make our friends our shepherds, if we rely on their advice, their ability to help us, their counsel, it's not going to work. And do you know the worst shepherd out there of all? The worst shepherd that in this whole universe is you. If you think you can do it on your own, I'm okay. I'll look after myself. I'll take care of myself. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's advice. I don't need you. Don't need you. Certainly don't need him. I'm on my own. Guys, we will bankrupt our lives in a matter of minutes if we trust ourselves to take care of ourselves. And all the while, we have God in heaven saying, I'll shepherd you. I love you. I want to be your shepherd. And my prayer for this estate, my prayer for those children, my prayer for those broken out there is that one day, and I pray one day soon, they see through the fake shepherds for who they are, and they see God himself as the good shepherd who is worth making their shepherd. Guys, is he your shepherd this morning? Are you a sheep in the care of God himself? Are you in his flock, in his pasture? Let me tell you why it's a good thing to have God as your shepherd. Because look what he does for us. Look what he does for us. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That doesn't mean I won't want anything. It means it means I will have no need. A lot of what we think we need, we don't need. A lot of what we want, we definitely don't need. But this means there will be no lack. God will give to his people everything that they need for life and godliness. Everything. The Bible says he will never put us in a situation. He doesn't give us enough to get through that situation. He will never deprive us of what we genuinely need. Sometimes it feels like we need more than we've got. That's because God is teaching us to depend on his grace. I promise you, you give yourself to the shepherd, he will leave you lacking no good thing. He is a good, providing shepherd. Any shepherd that doesn't take care of his sheep is not a shepherd worth his salt. If a shepherd doesn't feed his sheep, if a shepherd doesn't protect his sheep, if a shepherd doesn't care for his sheep, doesn't pull fleas and ticks off his sheep, he's not a shepherd worth his salt. But God will leave us with lacking no good thing. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at what he does, guys. This is beautiful. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He gives us time and space to appreciate why we're on this planet. We exist to give glory to God by worshiping him, by loving him, and just by enjoying the world that he's given. One of my favorite things to do, I do it regularly with Matt at the back, and I often do it regularly on my own as well, is to go for a bike ride up the mountain and just shut up. Turn my phone off, just be still and be quiet and just get some perspective, that I just have some tranquility, because it's like there's space up there, there's time up there. When Jesus saw these people in Jerusalem harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, they were just that, harassed and helpless. When you're harassed, it means that you can't find peace. Wherever you go, there's something nagging you. There's something haunting you. And God, look what he does. He makes us lie down. He brings us to places in our life where we actually face up to what's going on. And if we're facing up to him, then we're eating good, green, lush grass that will feed us and edify us. We will spend time in the Bible and it will build us up. We will just look at creation and just look at the God behind it and just marvel. You know, I had a really encouraging chat with Lee this week. She's not here this morning. Her and the kids are away on holiday. But Lee was saying that, you know, her and the kids were sort of in quarantine for 10 days with swine flu. All three of them were like quarantined with swine flu. Do you know what she said? Brilliant. She said, I really appreciate it. 10 days to myself. 10 days where I couldn't go anywhere and people couldn't come and visit me. She said, I haven't had space like that for ages. I wonder for you guys. Are you in a place of pasture right now? You're in a place where you can actually feed on what God wants you. I wonder how many people out there in Trevethan this morning, responding to what's gone down this week, can still know the hand of God, bring them to a place of space and a place of blessing and a place of like perspective to enjoy this world, even in the midst of a state where there's been a murder that week. Are you in that place? When Michelle, a lot of you heard Michelle's testimony, my wife, saved from depression as a teenager. Her testimony's on the website if you want to listen to it. The scripture that God gave her, like when she was brought out of that place of depression and just that place of angst and that place of anguish, was Psalm 18, where it says about God delivering her to a spacious place. He got her to a place where she just stopped and she looked and she saw a shepherd and he was enough. Guys, what kind of grass have you been eating this week? I'm not asking what kind of grass you've been smoking. I don't want to hear the answer. But what kind of grass have you been eating this week? The pasture that you are in this week. Are you in a place of enjoying God? Or does life get to a place where the thought of stopping and thinking and facing up to your life and taking stock is enough for you? I pray you're in a place, a spacious place, a green pasture. Look at this. He leads me beside still waters. If you ever walk next to a water that's not still, I've walked down past rivers in the Alps. It's pretty immense, but it doesn't chill you out. I watched my dad go canoeing in the Alps as a teenager, and he'd never canoed in the Alps before. He canoed on like the River Wye, not quite the Alpine rivers. He got in his canoe, and I remember the clear memory now. He got in his canoe, 5 seconds later, he capsized and had disappeared down the river. And I remember running down the river convinced that he was dead because like he just disappeared. Praise God, he wasn't. But like, it was an amazing thing to see this Alpine river, but it wasn't relaxing. But if you go next to this quiet water, just a brook, or like just a stream, or just the Avon Floyd when it hasn't been flooded, like, it's quite tranquil. Just the noise, just the sense of like, yeah, space and peace and tranquility. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. When you're with God, Michelle sang was in that song, there is a peace which passes understanding. God can turn the river which feels like it's going to overwhelm you into a stream which actually there's peace and there is space and there is God in the midst of that. He leads me beside still waters, and listen to this, guys. He restores my soul. This estate and this world is so soul sick. We have pigged out, we have indulged us, our lives, our flesh, and our souls on so much junk that we are just sick and broken. And like our souls are just not at rest. And the soul is literally the very, 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 very core of you. It's the bit of you which will live forever. And when your soul is weary, The whole of you is weary. You can't have a weary soul and skip through life. You can't be downhearted in your soul and smile genuinely or convincingly. If you've got a heavy soul, if you've got a soul that is fractured or broken or tainted by sin or guilt, it affects everything about you. But David, who wrote this, he doesn't say, there's nothing wrong with my soul. He doesn't say, I'm innocent, I've never done anything wrong. He says, my God is a God who can restore my soul, who can bring it back from where it was to where it should be, who can bring healing and health and wholeness into my spiritual life, into my spiritual being. Guys, how many of us have experienced that? How many of us need to experience that? That in the core, the fabric of who we are, we know the restoring hand of God himself. Then look at this. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Do you know, sheep without a shepherd take all the wrong paths. I know I share this in the Sheep Trilogy, but just go to Snowdonia if you don't believe me. And see what absolute crazy, I'm sure some sheep, I shouldn't say this, but I will. I'm sure some sheep like smoke drugs or something. Like the places they end up on these cliffs, like they only could have got there with a parachute. Or by some kind of like just sort of special optical illusion, like, and they're not actually there. Because like you just see these sheep and they're just standing there, like munching grass, like, and I don't know what road they took. I don't know which turn they took, but I bet they wish they hadn't. And yet, you know, joking aside, guys, how often do we know that we've just made that wrong decision, that stupid call? Sheep without a shepherd don't walk in paths of righteousness. We walk in paths of wickedness. And my life has been bankrupted at different stages because I said, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I'm going that way. Before I was a Christian, I didn't even care what God wanted to do. I did my own thing. And Jesus himself said, there's two paths that we're on. The narrow path which leads to life, and there's few who find it. The broad path which leads to destruction. And so many sheep that God loves are on that path. This morning, are any of you on that path? The broad path that leads to destruction. Because my shepherd, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He helps me make the right decision. How many of us wish we had somebody to guide us through this life? It's like this world is a minefield. There's so many things. If you don't know God, guys, I don't know how you can look at tomorrow, let alone the future, and walk through tomorrow with confidence. Because it just seems there's danger all around us. There's cliffs. There's just like, there's crocodiles. I don't know where I got crocodiles from in North Wales, but if there is one, he'd be there. There's all these dangerous things. There's mines, like there's all sorts of things waiting to trip us up and blow us up and knock us off the path that God wants us to be on. But my shepherd leads me. In our country, shepherds, they go behind the sheep and they drive them with their dogs, and they're at your heels going, come on, come on. In Israel, back in those days, the shepherd led from the front. The sheep literally had a kind of crazy, animal-person relationship. They knew the shepherd's voice. They trusted the shepherd. They knew the shepherd had their best interests at heart. The shepherd would leave and they would lead and they would follow. Guys, who are you following? Are you following a wicked shepherd that leads you down paths of destruction and paths of pain and paths of just like anguish? Or are you following the good shepherd who will lead you down the right path? Not the easy path, not the path with a duvet and a cushion and a mocha machine. Nah. The hard path, but the right path. I want to be on that path because my shepherd walked that path before me. He walked the path of the cross. Sometimes, guys, the right path is hard, but at least he's walked ahead of us, showing us the way, rather than telling us to go down there and say, you go and sort it out. You go and work it out. I'm following a good shepherd that walked the whole way. And why does he do it? For his name's sake. God's committed to being glorified in me. That freaks me out. He wants me to make good decisions to make him look good, to glorify his name. Guys, we're a church about him, not about Hill City Church. We're not about Trevethan. We're not about the pastor die. We're about Jesus. We want his name to be made much of. And he leads us down the right paths so people look at us. And in some crazy way that I don't understand, people say, their God is awesome. I've got no idea how he can do that through me or through you. Look at us. Really? But that's what he's committed to doing. And this is the bit I want to get to, guys. This is the important part for me. Actually, just go back to me quickly, Frank, because look at this. Look at the language in this. This is him talking about God. Do you see this? The Lord's my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He's talking about God in the third person. This is his theology. He has learned this about his God. Look, he makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me. It's, you know, it's, guys, we need to be in a place where if someone says, tell me about your God, he's saying, look, this is my God. I'll tell you what God is like. This is my theology that I've learned from God in the, you know, in my life. Now look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why, David? For you are with me. Guys, our theology, our understanding of God doesn't mean jack if when the shadow creeps in, when hard times come, it doesn't translate itself into just that relationship that gets you through. All of a sudden, as David, he stopped looking at green grass and fluffy clouds and, like, you know, and just beautiful sort of like spring meadows now, all of a sudden he's talking about the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew word for the valley of the shadow of death literally means the deep darkness. And he doesn't say if. He doesn't say if I'm one of the unlucky ones that has a rough life. Look at what he says. Even though I walk. It's inevitable. Guys, the dark days will come. I will not be a Christian that stands here and says to you, if you put your trust in Jesus, no more clouds, no more shadows, no more darkness, no more pain, no more sorrow. Because that's bunk. That's on the God channel. But these are crazy American guys who I just don't like because they just chat it. This is reality. This is true faith. This is what God says. When the shadow creeps in, when the shadow comes, when it scares you to death, I will fear no evil. How can you not know fear when you're in deep, dark shadows? Remember, David is speaking from experience. He was a shepherd before he was a king. He knew what it was to look after sheep. He knew what it was to be on a mountain, not dissimilar to these ones, but without streetlights in the valley below. Like, dark. Like, they didn't even have airplanes or satellites. You know, the moon and that was it. That was your lot. There was no like park rangers with shotguns to take out, you know, the bears and the wolves. He was there with a slingshot and a stick. Any of these bears or these beasties come and try and take his sheep, he's got to take care of it. And if a beastie creeps out of the shadows and you're on your own with your sheep, that's got to be frightening, isn't it? And guys, life can be like that. We think, what's going to come out from the shadows next? What's going to jump on me next? You know, we can go through this life in one of two ways. We can fear this world because we don't know anything other than this world and its realities. If we go through this life like that, I guarantee you, fear will only lead you to one place, and that is anguish, and that is down, and that is just not freedom. It's bondage. Or we can know the shepherd even with us in those fields. I believe David had prayed as much about knowing God helping him look after the sheep as a kid as he did when he was running for his life and hiding in caves as he did when he was king of Israel. He knew God as his shepherd in all those experiences. So he could say in absolute sincerity and with integrity, because he's been there himself, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I know there's wolves around you, even though I know there's things out there want to do me and my sheep serious damage, I will not fear, because my God, my shepherd, is bigger and harder and stronger than anything that can jump out of those shadows at me. Do you know that security, guys? Do you know the shepherd? Do the people in Trevethan know the shepherd? I wish to God I could just introduce him to the shepherd. I wish I could introduce him to the one who means they can sleep at night. Because they have got the shepherd watching over them. Because he is good and he loves them. And he's stronger and more powerful and more faithful than anything or anyone else. We walk through the valley. If he's your shepherd, you don't walk into it and never come out. Can I say that to you? If you're a Christian, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will always walk through it. Because even if the end of the valley is death itself, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you don't know the shepherd, if you're in the midst of that valley right now, guys, I pray that you give your life to that shepherd, that you trust that shepherd to shepherd you. Because right now, this valley feels dark. Right now, this estate has gone through a dark week. And I believe those who will be able to walk these streets and walk this estate and walk this nation with a head held high and with a good night's sleep behind them are those who know their shepherd in the dark times. Because he's still God in the shadows, guys. He's still God in the darkness. To him, darkness is as light. There's nothing that scares God. There's nothing that freaks him out. There's nothing that catches him off guard. Because he's with us. He's with me. He's Emmanuel. That's what he came to be, guys. He didn't come to be this great big God in the sky to dangle a carrot and get you through life. came to walk this world with you, shoulder to shoulder. Do you know him with you this week? Do you know the shepherd's presence with you? Your rod and your staff, they come for me. You know, because I think sometimes we think of the rod and the staff as like what you used to whack wolves with and like, you know, sort of discipline a sheep with. But if you're in the dark, right, and you're a sheep, you might appreciate a tap up the bum if you're walking towards a cliff and it's like, that way. Do you know what I mean? That's when God's rod and God's staff and God's discipline comfort me. Because even though things are hard and I don't understand what's going on in my life, if he's pointing me back towards the path of righteousness rather than into the path of destruction, I'm actually grateful for the odd slap from God. Honestly. I remember like me and my mates, I might have shared this story with you before, but me and my mates years ago in St. Melons, we had a youth camp and we got taken to the Brecon Beacons and we got sent on this little mission in this sort of like 1 mile long mountain railway that goes through the mountain. And it was all right until the tunnel started going round the corner. And then the daylight started suddenly disappearing until all of a sudden we were in deep darkness. And I had Boaz in one hand and my dog was freaking out. And I had to try and control my dog. But he said, listen, when we went into the tunnel, we were given a stick. Keep your stick on the side of the wall. And provided your stick is on the side of the wall, you will get through because that stick will keep, you know, if you let go of the wall, if you lose contact with the wall, all of a sudden you're going to hit a puddle, you're going to hit a railway sleeper, you're going to hit all sorts. But if you keep your stick on the wall, you're going to be okay and you stay on track. And my God's rod and staff might hurt sometimes, might need more of a slap than other times, but if he's keeping me on track, they comfort me because I know he's getting me through. They comfort me. Finally, I'm not going to dwell too much on this because this isn't so much about the shepherd. This is about the Lord as a host. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. It basically means, look, you don't prepare a table for somebody unless you're confident of victory. You know what I mean? If you're in a battlefield, you don't sort of like whip out your best, you know, tablecloth and your silver and stick it down in the middle of the battlefield unless you're pretty convinced that nothing, no harm's going to come. Ultimately, the battle is won. And David says, you know what? There's people have got it in for me. He knew what it was to have men who were just wicked and evil men, and he knew what it was to suffer at their hands. And yet he says, you know what? I win because my shepherd wins. There's a table spread out. And for us guys, if we're Christians, that table is spread out in heaven right now. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And one day, we're going to eat at that table. And he had that confidence, even in the midst of the darkness, that even with his enemies all around, even with circumstances telling him to give up, to put his head down and say, no more, I can't take anymore, forget the whole thing. If you can't beat him, join him. He's with the eyes of faith, he says, no, there's a table prepared for me. There's a meal coming for me. A meal that says, I win, and they lose, because my shepherd wins. The anointing my head with oil is a sign of blessing. My cup overflowing is a sign of just abundant joy and of just abundant life. And he knew he had that, even as he walked through that valley. Guys, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? I rewrote this psalm last night. I rewrote this. So it's not a psalm, it's not scripture, I'm not rewriting the Bible. But this is the reality for those who don't know the Lord as their shepherd. This is how the psalm would read, if you don't know the Lord as your shepherd. The Lord is not my shepherd. I'm constantly in need. I never have the time or space to enjoy the rich textures of life. My path is the path of stress. My soul is battered, exhausted, and sick. I'm helplessly addicted to taking the wrong paths, hell-bent on dragging my own name through the mud. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm paralyzed by fear. For I know that ultimately, I'm alone. There's no one to guide, comfort, or encourage me. I'm daunted and defeated by enemies that are too powerful for me. I'm a stranger to true blessing, and I've never drunk deep of God's abundant joy. Surely, sorrow and guilt shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall be cut off from the blessed presence of the Lord forever. Guys, I don't want this estate to go through life with that as their reality. And if I was to just go out there and tell everyone, you haven't got a shepherd, that's why these things happen, that's why this world is so broken, that's what's wrong with you, that's not grace. I preach this psalm this morning because this can be a reality for everyone who trusts Christ. Because the good shepherd, Jesus said, talking about himself, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. David would have wrestled with lions and wrestled with wolves and overcome because his sheep were worth it to him. And in the same way, Jesus came and he wrestled with our sin and he wrestled with the devil and he overcame them on the cross as he poured out his own blood in our place so that the things that trash our lives, our families, our communities and our world can be dealt a final blow once and for all time. So that we can say with David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look at this. We've got the Lord leading us in paths of righteousness, and we've got his goodness and mercy following us, coming up behind. Michelle calls goodness and mercy God's two blessed sheepdogs. It's like these two little like sheepdogs called goodness and mercy that are constantly behind us. If we look over our shoulder, we think we're alone. No, God is still there. God is still good. The grace that he gave me on the cross, the salvation he won for me in that once and for all victory on the cross still stands. His forgiveness is still available. There is still hope. There is still peace and joy which comes from him. And all the days of my life, every single day, you can have that assurance if your faith is in the good shepherd. Guys, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Is he their shepherd? You know, I love these Sunday mornings, but I'm getting itchy that we need to be like telling everyone about this. Not just inviting people to come to us. Telling them over a coffee. Telling them online. Just telling people. Your life hasn't got to be without a shepherd. The stress hasn't got to be there anymore. The pain, the fear has not got to be there anymore. There is a good shepherd. Guys, let's tell people. Let's live like we're grateful to know that shepherd if we truly know that shepherd. We get goodness and mercy all the days of our life. And we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You cannot get more security than that. Goodness and mercy till the grave and heaven forever when you die. Guys, that is what the good shepherd offers all who have come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. I pray that if you have been affected by what's happened this week and you're a Christian, I pray that this will give you hope. I pray this week you know the shepherd's embrace. I pray you know the hope and the peace and the love that he gives. I pray that gets you through. If you don't know the good shepherd, I pray that you would stop running from the most beautiful savior there is, the only savior there is, Jesus Christ, the one who didn't only walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but as he resurrected, he came through the other side in triumph to spread a table out for all who would join him that says, you're going to win. You're going to get there. I pray that you get this, guys. We're not playing church in Trevethan. We didn't start a church up here because we wanted a church with a nice view. We didn't. We came because there are sheep without a shepherd and a good shepherd who died to make them his own. I'm going to leave a minute of just like quiet for you to respond to that in whatever way you want. Then I'm going to pray, and I'm not just going to pray a closing prayer. I'm going to pray for this estate. Pray for this nation, and then we'll close for good. This morning, if you don't know how to cry out to him, just tell him in your own words, Lord, I need a shepherd. Would you save me? Lord, we are humbled by the fact that you want to be our shepherd that much you would die to make it happen. And we're sorry, Lord, that we're so good at going down the wrong paths and so poor at going down the right ones. And yet, Lord, we want to thank you for the security that we have, both in knowing who you are in the good times and knowing your presence, your very real presence with us through the valley. And wherever we are this morning, God, whether we're in the valley or whether we're on the mountaintop, I pray, Lord, that we would know just the pleasure of you as our shepherd this morning. God, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, please, in your grace, call them into your fold. Reveal just what sort of shepherd you truly are and give grace. I want to just lift this beautiful community before you, Lord. I don't care what headlines are written about this place. I don't care what people from outside this place or even in this place think of Trevethan. I want to thank you, Lord, that there are people here that you died for. I want to thank you that there is hope for this estate and there is grace available. And we as a church, Lord, want to play our part in just proclaiming your glory and praying for your grace in this place. Father, would you save in Trevethan? Would you establish just an amazing church in this place, full of saints that love you and follow you and trust you and that get through the valley? We pray, Lord, for those families immediately affected by what happened. God, would you comfort? Would you comfort that family, Lord, who've just lost that precious woman? Lord, she was an image bearer of God himself. Her loss will be felt. Would you bring comfort, Lord? Would you be their shepherd? For us, as this church, may we not go down the path of despair. May we weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. But may we do so in the tight grip of the shepherd. Hebrews closes with these words. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're finished there, guys. Go and enjoy your coffee. Go and enjoy the shepherd.